Certainly great to see you today. Thank you very much for making the decision to worship with us here at the Isaiah City Church of Christ. I am so thankful that you are here today. I'm so thankful that you have your families with you today, that you have the bright colors on, and there are going to be great pictures put on Facebook and Instagram and all over. But most of all, I'm so thankful that we serve a risen Savior, that we serve a God, as we just sang, who is alive. What a blessing it is to know that we are not a part of a body of believers, that the leader is in a grave dead. Our tomb, his tomb, was found empty. And I do wish you all a very happy day with your family. And I am so thankful, Brother Steve has been leading us in songs to remind us of this important fact. Easter Sundays are always easy for preachers to preach. Well, I mean, the sermon itself is not necessarily easy because it's about what our Savior did for us, and there's some emotion in that. But there's always people that are happy and people that are encouraged, and we have visitors with us. Now, this Sunday's a little different because the spring break backs right up to it, and so there are some that are traveling. But we've got good people here, and I'm excited about that. But today's even easier for me to preach because I've got a couple bits of good news to share with you, and that always puts me in good spirits. We've had a couple families that have been visiting with us for a while, two families today, that they have decided that no more visitor cards. They want to be members here, and I am so excited about that. The first family is right here in my stage left, I guess you will. You're right. But I've been visiting with us for a while, and they decided, they told me last Sunday, hey, we're ready to be members here. And I'm so excited about that. Very talented. Both these families very talented. But I want you to welcome with me Jason and Ashley White and their children, Justin and Peyton. They're here all today. Look great. Beautiful family. Got beautiful hearts. If you will, Jason, Ashley, and guys, we all stand up. Please welcome them to Isaiah City Church of Christ. They are great workers. Very excited about that. Let me tell you, a unique connection is Chris and Ashley will see each other at work. And so we just had the Lamberts come, and so that's a great, unique thing. God is good, isn't he? But then also, somebody who I've known for, I guess, quite a long time now, he and I even were on the same baseball team once in a blue moon ago. He's a lot better baseball player than I was, though. But I'm very excited that Adam and Bree Yerabedra and Avery Haley and Taylor Grace, the most beautiful little girls, that are able to be with us here today as well. But Adam, Bree, Avery, Haley, and Taylor Grace, if you would, let's stand up, please, and welcome them to Isaiah City. Another beautiful family and beautiful people. And, you know, it's not just that these are great families, they're great workers, too. And I'm excited about that. Adam and Bree have a long history at Mobile Christian School. Bree's actually a teacher there as well. And that leads me to my next. They're not placing membership yet, okay? But I'm very excited to welcome to the area Billy, Dr. Billy McConnell and his wife Karen. Billy is the new head of school at Mobile Christian. And so if you'll just kind of tell everybody where you are so they can get to know you a little bit better. So welcome to the area. Yeah. Welcome them to the area. Dr. McConnell comes to us from West Virginia. He's actually coming on down. Miss Karen's got some things to finish up, but they're getting started right away, and I appreciate them very much. We searched all over the country, if you will, literally, and God led him right to us, and so we're thankful for that. Man of Sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was He. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was He to die, it is finished was His cry. Now in heaven exalted high, hallelujah, what a Savior. When He comes, our glorious King, all His ransomed home to bring, then anew His song will sing, hallelujah, what a Savior. I amen that myself, George. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. It came a point in time in glory when He knew, as Justin read to us from Isaiah 53, as we talked about Wednesday night, as we talked about on I Study on our podcast, Isaiah 53, 700 years before Jesus Christ, it was foretold that a man would come, a Savior would come, that would go and He would die and He would take on our sins and He would bear our guilt and He would bear our burdens and He would go into a grave dead. Today is April Fool's Day, too. I almost started the sermon by saying I'd preach a short sermon than April Fool's, but let me tell you about the biggest and the most foolish thought there ever was. Satan on that day 2,000 years ago. You see, Satan's mission from the point that he understood that there was no return. There was a point in time, Satan, I believe him to be the highest ranking angel there ever was. He rose to this power, he was given this power, but he wanted just a little bit more. He said, I can go and I can claim majesty. I can claim reign. I can overtake God. So he recruited himself an army, a legion of what we would call demons today, and they tried to overcome God, but nobody can overcome God. And so he was cast out of heaven, and he's been on this earth ever since thinking, how can I get back? How can I get back to him? Because hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for us. But the reality of it is, he thought he had won. I took God in the flesh, and I nailed him to a tree, and he died there, and I put him into a grave because sin and death came, or death came through sin. And so because of me, I've killed God. But oh, how foolish that was. Because as we sang during the communion part, as we got ready to partake of the bread and the blood, up from the grave he arose. Jesus Christ, our Savior, overcame death, overcame this world, overcame sin, and overcame Satan by gaining breath back into his body and coming up out of the grave. And so collectively today, we are here to say, hallelujah, what a Savior. But you know, I could preach any number of ways on the empty grave. And I'm going to parallel that all sermon long. But today I want to talk about another empty grave because I think it becomes close to home with us. And that's the empty grave of a man named Lazarus. In John chapter 11, we learn about Lazarus. Jesus there, as the quote says on the screen, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go to awaken him. Last Sunday, I stood on this stage and I preached to you about becoming alive, reviving ourselves, and having revival take place. Our theme this year is more. We want more Jesus in our lives so that we can do more for others. Well, in order for there to be more, there had to come a point in time for Lazarus to be alive again. because Lazarus dies. But Jesus didn't see him as dying. He saw him as asleep because he knew the power that he had. He could raise Lazarus from the dead. So I want you to join me in John chapter 11 on this day as we celebrate as a country. And I know there are some, I'm sure, upset in our country today that we celebrate a day that Jesus came out from the grave. And listen, we as Christians, we can easily say, and this is what we've said before, right? Hey, we celebrated every Sunday of the year. You know what? Justin reminded me, and I'm going to use this from now on. We're going to one-up you on that. We need to celebrate it every day of the year. Because he said, take up your cross daily and follow me. Jesus is not in a grave, dead any of the days of our lives. And I am so thankful for that. John chapter 11. Now read along with me. Now verse 1. A certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, you might ask, why is he saying that? Well, if you study John, you will see that this is really the first miracle that Jesus, it shows the real authority that he has, okay? This shows glory. This brings it to God. There are others who could do certain things, and there are others who you remember back in Egypt's day when Moses went before Pharaoh and the magicians could do some things? Well, this was the phenomenon that there was no doubt Lazarus was dead. It's going to talk about how he stunk in a minute, you know, that decaying of his life, of his body. But this is what Jesus is referring to. This will bring glory to God. Now, Jesus loved Martha, verse 5, and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. Are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Now, I want you to see this scene. This is an important scene because it's a parallel of our lives today. And I'm going to try to bring that out in our lesson to remind us of the importance of the empty grave. Because of Jesus and who he is, we know how this story ends. He's going to raise Lazarus up from the dead. And Lazarus is going to come out not partly dead, but fully alive. Okay? He's not going to come out a zombie. He's not going to come out walk. He is going to come out whole. Because this is God. This is Jesus Christ right here performing this. But today I am concerned about us. And I'm not necessarily talking about us in this room, but I'm talking about the church. God's forever family, okay? The brothers and sisters through Jesus Christ. Sometimes we go through life basically spiritually half dead. Maybe spiritually we've fallen asleep. Maybe it's not been important to me to be the father I need to be to my children. To be the husband I need to be to my wife. Or likewise, ladies, mother and wife. Maybe I haven't been who I need to be at my workplace. Maybe I haven't set the example in my neighborhoods. And so today, as I read through this, I want us to put ourselves in Lazarus' shoes. Now, I understand Lazarus had a physical condition that caused him death, okay? But today, I think that relates to us in a spiritual sense. And so today, as we go through this, I want this to be prefaced that without the tomb being empty, all of us would be dead. We would have no hope. We would have no bright outlook in our future. But because Jesus is who He is, He was able to raise Lazarus and He was able to raise Jesus. And there's no sin that you've committed and no sin that I've committed that He can't forgive today either. He can raise us up. He can wake us up. But there's a few things that we've got to understand that they struggled with here in the text. Here's the first one that we want to talk about today. Without Jesus Christ, we are confined. We are confined. We are confined to our lives. We are confined to sin. We are confined to death. Read on with me here. His disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now, where is Lazarus? Well, he's dead. You know where Lazarus is confined to right then? A tomb. And I know that Lazarus is in that tomb because he's been in there for a number of days, and they tell us there is a stink, a stench. If something dies, you know it doesn't take long for that decomposing to start stinking. Well, that was what, I mean, I know that's gross right before lunch, but that's just where we are. Lazarus is dead and he is confined to the tomb. The sickness or whatever it was that caused him death took over his body and he was confined to death. Without Jesus, he will stay in that tomb. But Jesus is coming. Jesus was coming to Bethany. Today, I want us to think about our lives. What am I confined to? You know, you see that sign there. It says, "Permit required, confined space, do not enter." Well, that's kind of what God has put on the door, right? He told Cain, sin lies at the door. It's knocking on your heart. Don't open the door to it. Well, he puts these big warning signs up. Don't do this. Don't do that. Why? Because it can overtake us. Let me ask you this. When Jesus encountered Legion, you remember there in Mark 4, you remember that story? It's Mark 5 when he encounters Legion. But in Mark 4, he's on this boat and he calms the waters. His disciples, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" He gets up and he says three words, "Peace, be still." He overcomes nature. He overcomes disaster. Well, right after that, around midnight or so, it's late, he goes and where they land? In a graveyard. And there's this man from the tombs. Legion. Legion is demon possessed. And you remember all those swine that he cast those demons in and they run off. Some said there could have been thousands of swine. So there's a lot of demons in this man, okay? He's miserable. Matthew talks about he doesn't have any clothes on. And so he's pulled his clothes. He's miserable. He's been chained up. He's broken the chains. He's just awful. Do you think that man who Legion was in wanted to be confined to where he was? No. He wanted the devil out. He wanted the demons out. But today, we can walk in here, and I'm not saying we're demon-possessed, but folks, we've allowed sin to consume us in some ways. And so we're confined to the life that we live. You show me somebody that constantly is living a miserable life, I can constantly show you someone that doesn't have God first. Whoa, Terry, you're saying if I put God first, I'm not going to have any misery? No, I didn't say that at all. Because we live in the world that the devil's the prince of, we're going to have some misery. We're going to have some troubles. We're going to have some trials. But let me tell you, they pale in comparison to my life from when I didn't have Jesus first. What do we want to be confined to? You know, there used to be, I think it was a pizza, right? A commercial. What do you want on your tombstone? Talking about what do you want on the pizza. But if we could say today what we want on our tombstone, and I really don't care what's on mine because I'm not going to be there. But What would we want it to say? Maybe we want it to say, great husband. That'd be something good. Maybe we would want it to say, great spouse, wife, father, mother, excellent turkey hunter, right? Alabama fan, right? We want it to say, I would want to say that, but anyhow, you get the point. What do we want? We put something on there. It's like our vehicles. You drive around town and you know what somebody's thinking, how many kids they've got, you know, who they root for, what gun brand they like. I mean, you just drive around town. You'll see it, right? I got Mobile Christian Azalea City on mine. And soon I'll put Faulkner. Those are the things I care about. I don't have my kids and the dog and all that, but that's okay. I love them too. But, well, the dog, anyhow. The point is this. Are we going to let, what if we put on there, hey, this guy was all this, but he didn't put God first, so he's confined to this grave. How sad and tragic is that? What I'd like my tombstone to say is he was a Christian. And he's not here anymore. Because sin didn't define him, and the grave will not confine him. Lazarus is sick. Lazarus is dying. Lazarus is dead. But Jesus was coming. Secondly, this morning, sometimes along the way without Jesus, we get confused. The disciples were confused. Did you see the couple times here? Back up and they say, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. Are you going there again? I think that's a fair question. You mean you want to go back through this way because they're going to try to kill you? I mean, you know, and Jesus gives them a great answer. Hey, we're going to go in the daylight. They're not going to get me in the daylight. They're going to look in the night. We need to stay in the light. That's a great point for all of us, right? But then I can appreciate this. Sometimes I need things plainly. And I feel like I'd have been right there in Peter and all them shoes. Because I'm just a good old simple-minded guy. They said, Lord, if he says Lazarus sleeps. I mean, that's awesome. Jesus, he looks at it and he says, no, he's not dead. He's just sleeping. I'm going to go wake him up. They're like, well, Lord, if he's asleep, well, maybe he's just going to sleep it off. You know, as longer he sleeps, the better he off he'll be. He'll just get well. I love verse 14. He plainly says, Lazarus is dead. You know, like, guys, can't you take a hint? I'm trying to tell you, Lazarus is dead. But they were confused. Mary and Martha are confused. Jesus, if you would have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. There's some confusion goes on. Let me tell you, we live in a confused world. There are people today talking about the confusion of the body, confusion of which bathroom to go into. That's pretty clear to me, but there's confusion. You know why there's confusion of those things? Because our world's confused. Our world is confused because the devil is the prince of the world. And when we do not celebrate Jesus Christ and the victory he had over death, then we can't appreciate how he's going to make our way straight. How he's going to be a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. Jesus is going to direct our steps. God is going to lay it out there. The Holy Spirit is going to guide us when we allow God to raise us from the dead. When it comes to confusion, God's not the author of confusion. Do you know that he wrote the book so that we can understand it? So that we can see the way? You know, I like directions, good directions. Sometimes Siri doesn't give very good directions. She tries her best. But sometimes you can go this way and then she'll say, oh, hazard up ahead. And you're like, oh no, what am I going to do? And then you get there and there's no hazard. Siri's confused. I don't understand why they do all that, but sometimes you can get off. You might think, well, there's a hazard. I better stray this way. Oh, there's another hazard. I may better go this way. I better go this way. And all of a sudden, you've just circled around and you've lost all this valuable time. Well, that's not God. Maybe there's a hazard ahead, but He gives a way out. Maybe there's a struggle ahead, but He calmed the storm. Maybe there's something you're going through today that you're confused, that, you know, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know how I'm going to overcome. Well, let me tell you this. Sometimes we don't know the answer, when it's going to happen, but we know that He's going to provide the way out. Today, you don't have to be confused anymore. When it's all said and done, there's no confusion. Did you see what He said? He said, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to Him. He said, I'm glad you're going to be able to watch this. I'm glad you're going to be able to see this. Even when Jesus was going up in Acts 1, they were still confused. But today, let it be known, there doesn't have to be any more confusion. Because Jesus Christ rose, we can rise too. Thirdly, though, this morning, sometimes when we're confined to our sins, confined to the grave, it brings a lot of confusion, but then it brings a lot of criticism. If you look back at verses 17 through 26, so when Jesus came, He found that He had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if You had been there, if You'd have been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to Him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in Me shall never die. Do you believe this? How many times has something not gone our way and we looked up and said, why God? Why God did You do this? Why God would You allow me to have to go through this? Where were You, God, when they fired me? Where were You, God, when my loved one died? Where were You, God, when my child died? Where were You when my marriage fell apart? Interesting here that even though they criticized Him, Jesus didn't reprimand them. He knew. He knew the hurt. He could read their hearts. You know why they did that? They were confused. They were struggling. They were confined to a moment that our brother is not ever going to say hey to us again. He's never going to smile at us again. He's never going to love us. And You were the one who could take care of it. Where were You? Jesus didn't strike them dead. I think that God understands that there are times when we're going to struggle. There are times when we're going to have questions. There are times when we're going to lash out. We're going to criticize the one who's the Creator. But today, let me say this. Do you believe that Jesus can raise you and me from the dead? He asked that question. Whoever lives and believes in Me shall never die. Do you believe this? You see, it comes a point in time when our criticism has to turn into confession. And we've got to say to ourselves, you know, I've been handling this the wrong way. The same one who put the rainbow in the sky is the same one that can take the cancer from the body. The same one that put all the drops of water in the sea is the same one that can save my marriage. The same one that created everything we know in 6 days is the same one that knows the number of hairs on my head. And He knows me by name. You see, it comes a point in time when we have to look at the person in the mirror. And we have to ask ourselves, am I being critical or am I being Christ-like? But there's one more C I want to look at this morning. You see, without Jesus, again, we're confined to our life that we're living, to the grave that's our destiny. Without Jesus, we're resurrecting from the grave, we're confused, we criticize. But there's something that happened that changed this whole story. There's one phrase, and here it is. Come forth. One phrase changed it all. One phrase changed the life of Lazarus, and it changed the life of Mary, and it changed the life of Martha, and it changed the life of those disciples. It's when Jesus said this, beginning in verse 38. Jesus, groaning in Himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of Him who was dead, said to Him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for He has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank You that You have heard Me. And I know that You always hear Me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that You sent Me. Now when He said these things, He cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And the next verse, Lazarus didn't stay dead. He who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and His face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose Him and let Him go. Come forth. And Lazarus woke up. Lazarus, his heart beat again. His lungs had air again. His brain had function again. And his brain told his heart, told his lungs, and told his feet to get up off of that bench or whatever he was laid on that stone and to walk out of that grave. And I imagine he didn't even stink. Because our God can do amazing things. And by one phrase, He changed the whole outlook on all those people that day. Now I fast forward you a few years later, or even a few days later. Jesus says a few phrases while He's on the cross. The last one is, it is finished. And they come and they take Him off the cross on that Friday. And they put Him in the grave. Just like Lazarus, they roll the stone in place. Now there was a battle that happened. But it came a point in time on that Sunday morning when Jesus told Himself. Do not miss that point. Jesus told Himself, Jesus, come forth. In John 2, verse 19, Jesus said these words, destroy this temple, and in 3 days God will raise it up. The Holy Spirit will raise it up. He said, in 3 days I will raise it up. You see, up until this point in time, nothing like Lazarus had ever happened. But folks, a few days later, nothing then and nothing now will ever happen than what happened on that Sunday morning. When Jesus is laying there wrapped in those burial cloths, and He tells His heart, start beating again. And that heart started beating. He tells that brain, start functioning again. He tells those lungs, start breathing again. He tells those muscles, sit up. And He tells those legs, walk. And He gets up and He leaves that grave. And because Jesus raised Himself from the dead, today you and I do not have to be dead any longer. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See all the portholes. He's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Come home. Come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling all sinners, come home. Lazarus, come forth. Jesus, come forth. Terry, come forth. Fill in your name. Come forth. Because He is risen, we too can be risen. It's time to come forth. It's time to come home. Today, if you're not a child of the King, today, come forth. Put to death the old life and be born again. Today, if you've been gone for some time, He's still risen. And there's still hope. It's time for the sinner to come home. Come forth right now together. We stand and sing.